I'm wondering if you have thoughts about how people of color, when they're put in situations, when they're asked to contribute, feeling as though we may not have the answer, like I may not be the multicultural expert that you're looking for simply because I'm wrapped in brown paper.
Yeah,
What are your thoughts?
I think you just said it. I mean, I think that first of all, no one should feel the pressure to become an on the record source or an expert for something they're not an expert in. If somebody asked me to, do some quantum physics right now, I'd be like, "What, huh?" Like that would be a mistake on your part. So don't allow. Don't make that mistake. I think it's absolutely fair and appropriate to say, here's my opinion about it, based on my lived experience. But I think if what you're looking for is a learned, experienced, multicultural marketing perspective, I suggest you talk to X, Y, or Z. Hopefully one of those is me. In that, I don't think that we should do that. And in fact, as women of color, as people of color, in majority agencies where we might not have other colleagues that look like us all the ways around, I think it's a teachable moment for our colleagues. Like, I don't speak for the whole segment. I can't speak for the whole audience, but somebody who does this every day, who's close to the data, who understands the insights work and things like that, they may be able to share, of course, their lived experience, and then let me extrapolate what that looks like from a trend perspective or from a data perspective. So I think that please don't I know words, it sounds easier said than done. Don't feel pressured to represent the race. Feel comfortable representing Charisse, because you're the expert at that. If there are things that because of your many years of experience that, of course, apply to the audience, of course, share that. But I think that we should not, just as like I said before, companies should not put their Black employees in that place to now be experts at diversity, equity, and inclusion or multicultural marketing just because they're people of color. We also shouldn't fall for it too. If that's not our expertise, if that's not our passion, if that's not our bliss, don't take it on. Just be like, I really think we should bring in somebody who does this every day, all day. Let's bring in an expert because that will make the work not only better, that will actually give it that heft and that weight that it deserves.
My next question is about measurement, right? So that's something we all, as agency people, we've gone through many evolutions of how are we measuring whether or not we're moving the needle. And it's a lot more difficult sometimes for public relations and when we're driving home communications and messaging, sometimes harder than it is in other disciplines like advertising, for example, where there's more concrete analytics. What do you think are going to be or should be things that agencies can look to measure in terms of their impact and moving the needle? In talking to and communicating properly with communities of color.
Wow. I mean, I think some of the things that we use traditionally can also be applied in this lens. We don't always invest in like benchmarking, for example, but in these cases, maybe we should, because we have to know a starting off point in terms of maybe this particular community's awareness level of an initiative or of a brand's stance or even of a brand in general. Like, do they even have any affinity for this brand? So I think a brand health sort of workup, but as it pertains to these multicultural audiences or whatever, that's a good place to start. And those are things we do on the total market side. Why not do that research among these audiences, not only to see where you stand, but frankly, where are their areas of opportunity? From a messaging standpoint, I absolutely think some of the same KPIs that we use, like in our measurement dashboards and sort of media, not media monitoring, but media valuation, if you will. I think those things pertain, but I think they have to be done with a decidedly intentional lens toward these audiences of color. So it doesn't mean if I put out, I'm doing a big pitch and I'm going to all types of media outlets, and I've included some, for example, African American media outlets on there. Did they cover my same messages as everybody else? That's not what I mean. What I mean is, did we engineer that pitch to give them that's cool. We have an announcement. It's a press release. Everybody's getting the same information. But did we engineer that pitch to those ethnic publications that maybe highlight a voice that represents that community? Did we pull out of our overall pitch a data point that's very resonant to that particular community? Like, have we done that extra work to maybe give them a fact sheet that works for them? And I think that taking that extra step to make it relevant is a good way to start to make inroads with the journalists on in the ethnic press and things like that. I think it's a good way to start. But in terms of measurements, I think the same ones. You know, it's certainly not about reach and frequency. It's about the sentiment. It's about also how much reverberation does the placement have among these audiences. If we're talking about, you know, the Black audience, for example, well, we know the Black audience, they're a beast on social media. They can make a story fly or bring it down, you know, memes get created like real quick if it's, you know,
Black Twitter. And I remember the first time I was ever asked if there was like a separate platform.
Oh, right.
I've been Black asked Twitter that. And I'm like, nope. So I think that's interesting. Like we can have this conversation that we know exactly.
Yeah.
Black Twitter is.
And I think more people are familiar now, right?
Well, because they don't want to get dragged by Black Twitter.
Don't want to get dragged, or maybe you want to be lifted up, you know? So I do think that is an opportunity for people to recognize, like, you could have a story, an article, you know, about whatever your announcement is or whatever. Does it have those content sort of touch points that really resonate with the audience, like a really, you know, a really unforgettable quote or like a really cool image that they love to share? Like, this is what the reverberation is really about. And it can be engineered in our pitch going in. Like, it's not happenstance. So we can take that extra step as agency people to build the proper pitch or the proper program that feels very inclusive and authentic and represents different audiences. And then when we're measuring it, you get to see it's not just about impressions or reach. Right. It's about, wow, that sentiment was super positive, or they shared and liked it, or they took my image and now it's a meme. But like, you know, like these are also measures that can be used to show how something is resonating.
Can you hear me snapping?
I see and hear the snapping.
I wanted to ask your thoughts. We have some recent media reports here, I would say within the last week, about a soft health crisis that's being caused by COVID. Meaning we've paid so much attention to COVID, rightfully so, and communities of color, that the soft crisis that we see developing is that people are not looking at other health concerns that they have and or avoiding doctors and visits and not paying attention to the other healthcare problems, many of which could frankly become underlying conditions and exacerbate COVID should they happen to contract the virus.
Yeah.
What do you think we should or shouldn't be doing differently as communicators to balance COVID, the importance of COVID, with the other health conditions that we know we're dealing with?
Yeah, it's critical. I don't even know that it's a soft crisis. I think it's a regular A-level crisis, what is happening, and it's real. I think that when we're doing healthcare campaigns, let us always embed in that message how important it is to stay on your regular routine with your appointments, with your care. If you have a chronic disease, now is not the time, even though it's scary. You might not want to go into a crowded health center. You might feel trepidatious about doing it, but now more than ever, it's important to stay on top of your routine healthcare. If you are being treated for a particular condition, to not allow some of the things with COVID to prevent you from staying on track with that. I am working with one of my clients, and we did, for Breast Cancer Awareness Month, we did a campaign, of course, around Black women and getting their annual mammogram, because we did see for women, you know, during COVID, it was one of the appointments that I'll put it off until things are a little bit more normal out there, you know, and we really wanted to encourage them. No, now's not the time to do it, because not, you know, the screening rates between Black women and other women of other ethnicities, we get screened around the same amount of time, but we get diagnosed as Black women with cancer 40% more. We sometimes get diagnosed with more serious forms of cancers that are harder to treat. And as a result, our death rates are higher. Right. That's a problem. We can't afford to not miss our mammogram. Like, as soon as we can get it, we need to get it, and we need to keep getting it. COVID notwithstanding, it's more serious for us. Like, this is no laughing matter. This is no joke, if you will. So not only was the point of our campaign, of course, to keep your annual appointment, but to keep it and especially keep it now. And so we did, of course, some health awareness efforts. We did some efforts with key opinion leaders and healthcare providers, but we used talent, as we often do with these health campaigns, but we used somebody who really Black women trust and feel that she is one of them, no matter how much notoriety she's gotten. And that was Mary J. Blige, who herself was like, "Ooh, you know, it's time to get my mammogram. Like, I need to feel confident about the mask situation and is it safe there?" And she asked all those questions that we hear women asking, and she was able to sort of let them know, here was my checklist to feel okay about going. Here, you can borrow my checklist so you feel okay about going too. And so it was a way to normalize it and really show her journey going, and making women see, you know what, this appointment actually isn't that long. I can do it. I can do it safely. I'll mask, I'll social distance, I'll hand wash and things before and after, but I will have that peace of mind that I took care of that in the calendar year that I needed to. I think we have to sort of keep that message no matter what kind of health literacy we're talking about. Now more than ever, it's important that we take care of our whole health, not just our COVID health.
Well, I can't think of a better way to end. I want to thank you again for joining us. This was such a great conversation. I, on a personal and professional level, and so very gracious. So thank you for sharing your time, ladies.
Well, the admiration is mutual. Thank you for taking the time and for having
me. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, we have shared our time today with Cheryl Overton, who is the founder and chief experience officer at Cheryl Overton Communications. Thank you again.
Thanks.